I'm Adam Rapport. This is the Bon Appetit Foodcast. I'm arguing with Emma right now about when the exact midsummer day is. Like, when is the middle of summer? And I'm going to contend that it's like this week because June 21st is the first day of summer, technically speaking. September 21st is the last day of summer. So like that first week of August is kind of like the exact middle of summer. So this week, we are having a midsummer cooking report with our good friend Gabe T and Carla Music, our food director. We talk about all the things that we have made so far this summer, the things we want to make, and that one thing we have to have before summer is over in order for it to have been a real summer. Oh, one more thing. We are sending out our first podcast newsletter today. If you haven't already, head to tinyletter.com/foodcast. Enter your email to sign up and then confirm with the link sent to your inbox. Each week, we'll update you on what's going on. Each week, we will update you on that week's podcast. It will include links to recipes we talked about, links to articles we mentioned, some sort of behind-the-scenes stuff. And if you guys send us comments and thoughts and critiques and all that, we will include those in the newsletter as well. You can go to tinyletter.com/foodcast, sign up, and we will hit you with a new newsletter every Wednesday. All right, let's go to the show. Gabe.
Double fisting.
Welcome back to the pod.
So glad to be here.
What are you drinking there?
Carla made these delicious watermelon margaritas.
Correct.
And I'm having a beer in the other hand.
Well, actually, this is a good plug because, Carla, this recipe is actually in the August issue, correct?
Correct.
It's outstanding.
So that's salted watermelon juice that then you can use to make a salted watermelon margarita, which is what I did. Only half of it ended up in the sink. It was totally fine. We were kind of rushing.
I don't know why you poured it all over your hands and body.
Because I was rushing.
It has some exfoliating properties.
I should have done a pitcher, but I was still trying to shake it. But yeah. It was like too much.
Can we talk about the watermelon juice? Like seedless watermelon you buy, I assume?
They don't make any other kinds now.
Oh, really?
Once they figured out how to get rid of the seeds, everybody was like, well, but then why do we want those other terrible ones?
For watermelon seed spitting contests?
Well, so my children, I cut into a regular watermelon a couple years ago. Just like it was weird. It got into the wrong bin or something. And my children were like, what are those black things inside the watermelon? I was like, wow.
My drink is gone now.
And now it takes a while. The drink's gone. So you puree it and then how do you get it into juice as opposed to slushy? Do you separate it? Do you put it through a sieve or something?
You just pour it through a fine mesh sieve.
Okay.
You don't really have to do that because it's watermelon breaks down so easily, but it's nice. It makes for a more silky experience.
And then a dash of salt in there?
Yeah, there's for 6 cups of cubed watermelon, 3/4 teaspoon of salt. If you're using Morton salt,
Morton's
definitely
kosher.
Take that down. Well, kosher either way, but yeah. If you use Morton, do half that amount. Like, do a quarter tea and give it a taste and see if you want to take it.
You know, what's really awesome is when you go to the farm, when you're like out in the farm area where they have farms, and you go to the farmer stand and you get those like beautiful tiny watermelons with the yellow flesh inside.
Delish.
What if you made the yellow watermelon juice for the marg?
Any watermelon juice that you come upon, you can use.
I love those little bespoke.
I know.
Watermelons.
You know why they're nice?
They have a word for that in farming. I think it's called heirloom.
Yeah. They're also nice because like sometimes I don't want like the whole watermelon.
Well,
especially if it's just a few of you.
The little one is good.
That's what I'm saying. It's like if there's two of you, you and Jules, you're out in Montauk, like, let's just get one of those for us.
It's like a personal pan pizza of watermelon.
Ooh, yeah, it's super good. And really Instagrammable.
Oh, because so tiny.
Yeah, when you get it open.
And just put them in your shirt and boop, boop.
Oh, God. Okay. Anyways.
Whoa. This drink is coming on strong.
So we're kind of mid-late July. This pod is going up mid-ish August. We're talking about, like, what we're grilling, what we're cooking, like, at the peak of summer. And I wanted to check in with you guys because the last time we were talking, we were kind of talking about the things we were looking forward to. And I want to find out what we're actually making. Carl, what have you had going on in your kitchen, on your grill, etc.?
So one of my children just decided to become a vegetarian a few months ago. So a lot of the grilling that we've been doing, I have been going a little more veg focused because youngster decided, like, no, thank you. I don't care for eating animals anymore. So that's totally fine. One of the things I'm really enjoying that I've always enjoyed is putting the cast iron pan onto the grill. And when you put the pan on the grill, all of a sudden, all of the it opens up the wonderful world of all of your indoor grilling is now coming outside.
Such as?
Well, I just did, for a Hempio, I just did smashed, crisped up Yukon Gold potatoes, sick, which were adorable and tiny, and I just parboiled them inside while I was sort of like gathering all my stuff for the going outside.
Is there a right or not enough or too much time to when you're doing the parboiling?
I think they should be pretty much tender all the way through.
So they should be, you should be able to pierce a fork through, a knife, but not, because you don't want them falling apart though.
It's okay. Well, not while they're in the water, yeah, but you keep their skins on, mm-hmm, so they are kind of protected from getting too waterlogged. And then you smash them and the skins split. And at that point, it's okay if they kind of break into one or two pieces.
Yeah.
And then just
even
into
kind of better because then they have more crispy parts.
More of the craggies. And then put that I brought outside. I smashed them. I put them in the pan. A lot of olive oil. Put them while the grill was really too hot to do the thing I was going to do next, but it was the perfect temperature for crisping up the potatoes.
Do you smash them first and then put them in the pan, or put them in the pan and smash them in the pan?
I was trying to like be very efficient with how much space I had, so I just smashed them right into the pan.
Do you put any garlic or herbs in there?
I didn't, just because he's a weirdo about that stuff, but no, yeah,
kids.
I totally would have.
Yeah.
And or scallions.
Did you say craggies?
Yeah.
Is that like a technical term?
Well, if you just, you know, take craggy bits and combine them, it's just the craggies.
So what? All right, you had this is delicious, crispy, craggy potatoes. I'm gonna pretend there was some smashed garlic in there. Let's just say, for pretending sake.
Or like young, some like spring garlic, or some scallions that were in half, or anything like that would be really good.
A little salt, good to go.
Yeah.
What did you serve these with?
I served them with mustard and vinegar, and
What do you mean?
Oh, well, that was the condiment for the potatoes.
Did you dress them like a salad, or did you just mean on the side?
After they were crisped up, uh-huh, I put them into a bowl, and I seasoned them with vinegar and salt, and I served them with moutarde.
Perfect.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Do you need them? I don't know if I would have done the vinegar. That didn't affect the crispiness?
Not really. And it was sort of like, you know, a salt and vinegar potato type.
Yeah,
kind
of like a
concept.
Warm potato salad sort of thing.
Yeah.
But you didn't mix the mustard in like German potato
style. No, that was on the side. But Cosmo really likes acidic things.
Yeah.
And he says he doesn't like potatoes. This got him to eat the potatoes. So it was
a great day.
You know
the vibe with the malt vinegar with the potato?
No, I know. But I just never know if that like affects, like if you have something really crispy, does that compromise the crispiness?
No. I mean, time will compromise the crispiness.
Ooh,
you know?
That sounds like a good lyric.
the other thing, so that's more of like an accompaniment to other grilled things.
Yeah, so what was the main
things.
That night?
Sausages.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Which I broke all of my sausage grilling rules.
Which is meaning what?
Sometimes I'm not patient enough. So I recently got a Big Green Egg, which Gabe and I have bonded over.
It's a miracle.
It's incredible. But the thing that I really like to do is I just like put a ton of hardwood into the thing. Why mess around with charcoal at this point? So I just had like
How do you get the wood going?
A very small, you know those little mini chimneys?
Okay. Chimney.
Okay.
They're smaller than a regular chimney.
So you have to do a little bit of charkoal and then put the wood on top.
There would have been other ways, but that's kind of like the easiest way.
There are other ways.
Okay.
Just easy. Little mini charcoal chimney.
So what are your sausage
Sometimes
rolls?
I would do a mix of like natural lump charcoal and hardwood
That's
bricks.
Basically what I was dealing with. But by the time the
delicious fruit woods, if you want, you can order those online. They're really easy to get.
As by the time the logs had cooked down into embers, like the charcoal was for sure extinguished.
Yeah.
But it was mostly hardwood.
Yeah.
But the rule that I broke was I didn't have the patience to wait because I like was really enjoying it being so hot. And then I took all my rusty cast iron pans that I keep in the backyard and I burned all the rust off.
Incredible.
Then we had fun with the hose. And then I was like re-seasoning the thing. And then I like was like, I just need to start cooking now. But it was very, very hot. So what happened was the sausages, you know, the skin split and they kind of explode.
Oh. Yep.
But again, I got a lot of craggy bits where the sausage.
Okay, all right. I have some sausage thoughts. A, if you're at a party and someone buys.
Such a perfect summertime grilling thing, sausage.
But like when someone buys one of the sausage wheels with the little toothpicks in it,
mm-hmm.
no one ever complains about that.
Never.
No, it's fantastic.
I love
them. And you can just kind of peel off a little piece.
Cheese and parsley. So they're, so good.
I was talking to our sometime Bon Appetit collaborator slash friend, Ignacio Matos, chef here at Estella. And
shout out.
Flora Love Bar the guy. And everything. Anyway, so they have remarkable sausages that they make and grill at Ultra Paradiso. And I was like, why are these so good? And first of all, they make them from scratch, and they're kind of almost like a Boudin Blanc in that they're really of pretty fine grind.
Yeah.
And there's almost creamy on the inside. And then what he does, he was saying, he says they poach them first, mm-hmm. which a lot of people do before they grill them so they don't split and explode like Arlo does. But then while grilling over medium / medium high heat, he sort of paints them with, I want to say it was kind of like a fish sauce, balsamic sort of thing. Ooh. So they get kind of lacquered.
Added value.
With this, like, there's a subtle sweetness. You don't really know what it is. You're like, why is this so good? And you're like, oh, he does that little thing. So you poach them first to prevent the splitting, and then you do a little added value on the outside.
I don't think you have to poach them. I think in restaurants, it's like an important thing to do because it kind of controls that second cooking time.
You can't afford to screw up in a restaurant.
Yeah, and it cuts down the cooking time and makes it easier. You can. I just, if you go over medium low heat.
We're grilling, guys.
I know.
We're grilling. We're not poaching and grilling. We're grilling.
But I did par cook my potatoes.
That's cool.
So Carla, in very Carla fashion, did this bullet pointed memo, which she sent out to alert us of what you would be discussing.
Tonight on the cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you read it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
One thing I saw, this was like, it piqued my curiosity. Bullet point. The love affair with grilled rice continues.
So true. So love.
Can we talk about what?
Yeah.
Sure. So the first time that I had grilled rice,
doesn't it fall through the grates?
Ha ha. Really funny.
I can't.
I was trying to high five Gabe. That was good.
The first time that I had it, not that it was like a new thing in the world, but I was at an izakaya in Santa Fe, New Mexico, at the 10,000 Waves hotel, which is an incredible place to go. And
is this where you wore your bathrobes to dinner?
Yeah.
Yakitori.
What happened? Did all of you wear them?
The first night, so when I made the reservation, they were like, oh yeah, you're going to love it. It's so great. You can like go to the hot springs and do the Japanese soaking tubs and like have your time there. And then you can just like stay in your robe and just walk down to the restaurant. It's all connected. And I was like, the robe?
Where is this?
It's called 10,000 Waves and it's in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And it's a wonderful destination. You should go. You and Jules, fantastic. Unplug, Zen, peace out.
Awesome.
It's so cool there.
Great.
Anyway, so I was like, this is incredible. We looked forward to it the whole trip. We were on a road trip.
And you get to wear like robes.
Yeah, and you wear your robe, your spa robe. So I was like, of course I'm doing this. This is like my favorite thing I ever heard of.
Yep.
And our teenage son was like, really? Really? I'm going to wear a robe? And I was like, no, it's like the thing there. Everybody wears the robe.
That's what we call a healthy amount of skepticism.
That's right. And he was like, yeah. And then my younger son, who is like also partial, like kind of loves to just be free. He was like, so into it, Mom. It's going to be great. We're going to be in the robes. So then we show up at the restaurant. And of course,
the only ones in robes. Everyone's looking at you like you're crazy.
And I was like, I don't care. These people are missing out. You know, like, this is the best thing ever, and everybody should be doing this. And our older son was like, yeah, I won't be wearing a robe tomorrow. That's not happening.
Okay.
Anyway, so they
had robe detour back to the grilled rice.
So they had grilled short grain sushi rice.
That's when robe fest turns into robe gate. Like, just like that.
Okonomi, right? That are like shaped into triangles. It's cooked sushi rice, seasoned with the vinegar, a little bit of sugar, and then shaped into little triangles. Yes. And you can eat those just as is. You can eat them. That sometimes they're stuffed with pickles or tuna or all kinds of things.
You can like put a smear of Kewpie mayo on the top of it.
So at this place,
you know, this crispy rice thing is happening for real.
No, but I want to hear it firsthand.
Right. So then they grill those and they brush it with a little.
But
like
if they're
sauce
packed,
mixture.
Are they putting that on like a charcal, like a grill or
yeah,
in a pan?
Yeah, yakitori.
Okay, so, yeah, so there's like embers beneath
it. So directly
it, yeah.
over
and
the be, thing.
And because it's like a patty, it stays together.
Crispy, smoky.
So, and then in the middle, it's like steamy and fluffy and chewy. It was so weird. Like, it was one of those things where it hits the table and you're like, yeah, we're going to need two more orders of those. So try to do it that way. I'm not like the most amazing rice maker in the world. But so my shortcut version is to make short grain white rice, cook it perfectly, right? It should be, you rinse it a couple times, but not so much that the water's completely clear, because you want it to,
you want the starch stick together.
Chopstick ready rice, as Rachel Yang taught me. And then you put that into your cast iron pan, a little bit of oil,
smash it down. So this is not like leftover day before rice.
It could be. It's fine. But I think it has a tendency to fall apart more if it's day old, because there's less moisture in it.
So you made the rice, kind of sticky, starchy rice. Did you season it with vinegar and stuff?
Season vinegar and some salt.
Okay.
And then put it in a hot cast iron pan with some oil. And instead of like shaping them, I tried doing that. It's more work. It's fine. It would not work. But smashing it into the pan so it's like a giant rice patty, and then grilling that so it gets really smoky, and not turning it over so the underside gets really dark and crunchy and the top side is like steamy and delicious.
And then you do the thing where you take the plate and just flip it over?
You don't even have to. You just take it out with a spatula. Yeah.
Okay.
And then it kind of breaks into pieces.
But you want to serve it crispy side up, I assume.
You don't have to.
Why would you not?
Because you don't have to serve it in one piece. I kind of like more, again,
back
to the craggies.
Shards.
That you just lift it up and it breaks into these pieces. You can flip them over so it's
more
brown
craggies,
side
please.
Up. All of the craggies.
Have you ever done this on the grill?
No.
It's a joy.
I've done it in the kitchen. I've done it in a pan.
Yeah.
It's good.
The smoky is nice.
You don't have to present it, Adam. It's rice. It's okay. Just serve it.
Oh, my God.
Well, you certainly
well,
you could.
Well, if you ask Andy Baragani, and he's making like the tadik, sort of the more
different
Persian style, and it's in a beautiful golden dome with the pomegranate seeds on top. And
I'm not down with pomegranate seeds. I just discovered recently. Not into
fair
it.
Fair enough. I don't like it that they
like
sell
inedible.
Them. I don't like that they're selling them.
My wife does.
It's like an edible thing that's been sold as edible that's actually inedible.
It's seeds. I've tried to put it in stuff, and Simone has
I'm fine with opening up a pomegranate and doing it proper. I find that like we demeaned ourselves so much that we're buying solo cups of pomegranate seeds. Like, is that how lazy we've become? We're buying zoodles and like pomegranate seeds and tangerines that peel themselves.
What's a zoodle?
You know, the zucchini noodles.
No, I don't know about that.
Go to Whole Foods.
I don't know about
go
that.
Go to the paleo section.
Emma is literally agog over there. She can't believe you don't know what
I probably should know what a zoodle is.
Go to Whole Foods after work.
It's horrible.
After you've gone to like the gym, and there'll be a lot of young professionals buying zoodles.
No.
For their healthy dinner.
No, pass.
Gabe, apparently, that sounds delicious, Carl.
Rice goes with everything. Yeah. So I will grill my short ribs and I will serve it with my crispy rice.
Right. Done. Done and doneer. Gabe, you apparently had quite the 4th of July to do, and getting back to the cast iron thing.
Bringing the cast iron out
back
to the grill.
Yeah,
it's like it's the best thing ever.
So tell us your cast iron experience.
We're gonna pass the cast iron around the table.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna shoot it over to Adam after this. Yeah, I mean it's the tradition. It's the 4th of July tradition. We go up to Rick Field's place in Barnard, Vermont, which is right outside of Woodstock, Vermont. Beautiful part of the state and one of the most magical, beautiful states in this great union.
Rolling hills, just trees, walking
also,
paths.
Not to interrupt,
imagine.
But like I said craggies, and like there was a whole pause, but you could say tradish, and we just keep going.
It's a tradish.
Well, you're not gay.
You know, there's this whole thing with people that, I don't know if you guys know this, but people actually do read the magazine, and they do listen to podcasts.
Which one?
Bon Appetit.
Oh.
And, you know, it's like, I mean, people clown you guys for the amount of times you say like crispy, crunchy, craggy, crispity, crunchity,
sitch. They don't like. They do not like when I say sitch 17 times in a podcast.
It's like a whole. It's like a whole thing. It's highly controversial. Anyway, yeah. So we were up there. It's fantastic. It's blessed with some great weather. So, and it's like a four, or in this case, it was an elongated fourth, right? So this was like a 5+ day party, and people have been coming up there for, you know, in my case, like 18 years, and other Rick and his brother have been throwing this party for like 30 years.
Amazing.
And it's like generational now. People are bringing their kids. People sleep in tents on the property. It's nice.
Can we get back to the cast iron?
Yeah. So we cooked a pig.
A whole pig.
Well, when I say we. Rick's brother Jonathan and you know our buddy Moss cooked the pig in the cajachina.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, the whole pig. It was a beautiful, beautiful pig.
How did it turn out?
It turned out well. It took longer, as it always does, than they thought.
How big of a pig?
Big.
Yeah.
Yeah, big.
They can't be that big because it has to fit in the box.
It fit in the box.
Barely.
It didn't fit in the box. We had to cut the trotters off. We had to saw the, and when I, again, when I say we, some other dudes sawed the legs off.
It sounds like something out of The Sopranos.
Off of the pig.
So how long did it take to do the whole thing?
I think I want to say like 10 plus hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a long day.
Anyway, we had the pig. It was fantastic. They used the trotters and a bunch of the offal, a bunch of the heart and the kidneys and the liver to make dirty rice. Like, they slow cooked down that offal and cooked rice in it. And the dirty rice was just incredible. I never even had attempted to do anything like that. It was bananas. And they used the trotters to cook the beans. And it was like this whole situation. Next day.
But by the time the pig was ready, you'd had like 23 session beers. And you're
just wasted. Yeah, wasted. Wasted. Happy. Happy to have some pig. Anyway, so the next day we took the cat. We got the grill ripping hot. We took the two cast irons, loaded them up with the leftover pork. Mm. You know, threw in garlic, threw in chopped onions, some sprigs of thyme, a ton of garlic, and pork stock that we'd cooked overnight, and orange juice. Right, filled that all up. Those two cast irons.
And you've got pig skin, and you've got all of the fat.
I didn't even put that in the email.
Wow.
We got into the whole chicharrón thing.
Right.
We had the pig skin on the side, which we crisped on the grill while the carnitas were cooking. So it took actually a while to get that grill hot enough to get that braising liquid to start to reduce. But once we got there, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
Did it kind of reduce all the way and then it started to get crispy, syrupy?
It reduces all the way, and then the fat that's in there starts to render, and you're crisping it in its own fat, which is the glory of carnitas, right?
My God.
And we got some corn tortillas, if you can believe it, in Vermont, and we warmed those up on the grill and got them roasty toasty and just served it with some beautiful, onions, cilantro, lime wedges, and controversially, slaw.
Wait, I'm going to quote Gabe's email. There was a call for a spicy, limey cabbage slaw, which I vehemently disagreed with. I have to say, my friend Rachel really knows how to rock a slaw, and I have to admit that shit was pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
Why would you disagree with a limey bracing
slaw? It's just not a traditional thing. A carnitas is like, in Jack White and the White Stripes, like everything was in threes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there was rules of. I feel like carnitas are rules.
Well, so what are the things? Onion, cilantro, lime.
Yes.
I feel like we're in a
that's
rule
okay.
It's like a rule of five things. It's like corn, pork.
Stop hitting
onion,
the table.
Corn, pork, onion. Lime, cilantro.
I have a question.
Corn?
That he's not.
Corn tortilla.
No. He's not going to ask. Was anyone injured in the carnitas procedure?
No, it was all good. I did it myself. I kept everybody away. I manned the thing. On the egg.
Because
so we
you
had the,
can get really hurt.
Oh, with this like splattering oil?
I have
splattering
sustained.
Oil.
Do you see this?
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's on my...
Like right by her clavicle.
Oh my
right
God,
by
I
clavicle.
Do. I do see it.
I sustained a flying, like, pork blob, a molten flying pork blob, because I was making carnitas at home. Landed right on me.
I'm sorry to hear that, Carla.
And now I have a burn.
I'm really sorry that happened to you. So in the meantime, while the vultures were all hovering, we got the skins going crispy. I was pulling those off, chopping them up, serving them to the kids. Everybody was like, "Ooh, we're ready." And that it was like one of the great lunches of all time.
So that's really
and
that's
brought to you by the cast iron,
but yeah. And a whole pig. But that's a hard thing to replicate.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta roast a whole pig first.
It is a thing of a place.
Right.
It is, if I may quote my friend John Caramonica in the New York Times, sui generis.
I don't know if you have to quote him. I think that's it's a phrase.
He just says it all the time. I don't know. It's like in every article.
Sounds great, though. So you could make the slaw again, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, Rach would have to do it. She's incredible with the slaw. It had Napa cabbage. It had some purple we call this red cabbage?
Yeah.
Red cabbage and some julienne green apples.
I mean, nice.
It was nice. And just limey. No mayo-y right. situation.
No, just acidic and crunchy yep. and salty and good. Yeah. That sounds great.
It was fantastic. And in the other, on the egg, so we had one grill going with the carnitas. On the egg, my buddy from New Orleans was doing shrimp. We also offered shrimp tacos and we offered carnitas.
Deep fried?
No, he just marinated these beautiful shrimp. I don't know. We went to some. You have to drive to Dartmouth, New Hampshire, to get to like to get some. You know what I mean?
Were there any? Were there?
You literally yes. have to drive to Hanover, New Hampshire, to get to, like, shrimp. Get shrimp. So we got some shrimp in New Hampshire, and brought it back, and we were like, "What are we going to do with this?" And he brought out the cast iron, marinated the shrimp in something delicious. I have no idea what he did, and we had shrimp tacos, and they were outrageous.
Sounds pretty good.
Were there any options for our kosher friends?
No, but
shellfish
and pork only. But what I realized I need is a cast iron with no handle, so right. that it can go in my egg.
Yes,
and the lid.
There's
can close.
Those round ones, the ones with the. Two little, like, grab a handles on the side that
it.
Carla lent me for
yeah,
a
never
party.
Never saw those again.
And I still don't know
it's
where
like
it is.
It's like a 16-inch yeah. back in your garden
and
somewhere.
I did a Smashburger party on the grill, and now I don't know where it is.
You know what works, but there is a little bit of an angle on the handles. It might get in the way. A thin black steel paella pan
is
really an awesome thing, and they're cheap.
Yeah. My buddy brought out a steel pan, and he got it ripping hot, and it was like plancha action.
But also,
I can use the word plancha.
For something like that, for a when you're doing shrimp, you want those to cook as quickly as possible.
Oh yeah, it was amazing.
Shrimp, you want to get color on them as quickly as possible because they will overcook like that. Can I talk about this chicken I made?
Please,
yeah,
do.
Please.
All right, this does not involve a cast iron, but the other week on the North Fork, stopped by Eight Hands Farm. Gabe, you've been there. Quite
love
the
it.
Place.
Love the
it.
Best.
Got a whole chicken cut into pieces. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do that recipe that Knowlton claims he made up a couple years ago for that main story we did, but Alice and Roman really developed it, even though Knowlton got credit for it because it
happens all the time.
Yeah. Anyways, so it was like the recipe in the magazine is grilled chicken wings with shishito peppers and herbs. I was like, and I think I'm okay doing this. Like, why? We can just take the same approach to what this recipe is, but do it with chicken parts instead of wings.
So it's funny. I just did a video of that recipe. Did you know that? That's what I was doing the other day.
Okay, so let's talk about this. So
because it makes a ton of the marinade.
All right, well,
like on purpose.
There's a couple of things here. So first of all, you make this marinade. And it's a pretty simple marinade, kind of Asian inspired, with sesame oil, soy sauce, lime juice, a little maple syrup or honey for sweetness, and vegetable oil. You marinate it with some shallots.
Yep.
And you take ton of lime juice, and you take all your chicken parts, and you put it in a bag, and you pour all the marinade in there, and you're like, cool, I'm going to go drink some beers now.
Not all.
Yeah, and then you look at the recipe again, you're like, oh, I was supposed to reserve
like half of this.
Half of it.
Always, like, always reserve the marinade.
I never read the recipe.
It's not, but just as a rule, always reserve.
I know.
This recipe in particular is
written. You've got like kids running around everywhere.
Just always reserve marinade. Always.
I know. So anyway, so I made the extra batch of marinade. So I'm marinating the parts. And this is, I got in an argument with Claire Saffitz the other day about this. Mm. So I was like, okay, I'm going to grill these chicken parts, chopped up like a calved breast, thighs, wing. I guess I got a few extra wings. I asked them at the shop for a few extra wings. And my feeling was, all right, because it's bone-in chicken, I'm going to do them not over direct heat at first, and I'm going to put the top on my Weber with the vents open to get it to start to cook through. Because I always say no one likes medium-rare chicken. So I did it bone side down first for like a good 15 minutes, and then by the time I opened it up, the top side, the skin side, had almost like a Peking duck mm-hmm. sort of nice, smoky, lacquered quality to it. And then, because I wanted to render some of the fat, and then I flipped it to crisp up the skin. Is that? But then I got a whole thing with Claire the other day about her spatchcock chicken. How she says she starts it on the skin side down.
Always skin side down.
Start and over the grill, not in a pan. I'm talking on the grill.
Yeah, just real quick.
I would say this: there's a lot of ways to skin a cat.
Yes, okay.
And I don't think there's really anything wrong with either approach. I just think they're different. They're two different ways to get to the same.
But I think if you do the skin first, you risk burning the skin, and then that fat is dripping immediately on the fire, and you get flare-ups.
They're just two different things. For the whole spatchcock chicken, mm-hmm. you actually would want to build like a ring of fire so that you had...
Love is a burning thing.
So you would bank your coals all the way around the outside perimeter of the grill.
Oh, so you wouldn't do the skin over direct coals?
No.
Oh, well, Claire didn't make that clear.
Hell
okay.
No.
Okay.
Not first, right. But no, I wouldn't.
Okay.
And then I would start skin side down, because with a spatchcock chicken, I'm going to keep it skin side down 92% of the time.
Hello.
And I just want it to go and go and go and go. But with your pieces, they're going to not have as much time on the grill. So
hey, how about this? Don't do the pieces.
Oh, okay. Well, hold on, bro.
Hey, hello.
No, because people like pieces. Okay. So anyway.
No, but let's talk about the spatchcock for 1 second, because I think we've done this, right? We know what we're doing with the spatchcock, right?
For sure.
So we've done this. I had the pleasure of cooking a couple times the hell chicken with your boy Lee.
Over at formerly
yeah.
of Achilles Heel.
I think he lives at Scribe Winery now, from
yeah.
what I can
yeah.
tell.
Yeah, so your boy Lee is like the king of chicken. He's like the world's greatest chicken chef of all time. I think
there might be some dispute about that, but go ahead.
All right. To me, he is.
He's maybe the guy who with the best hair who cooks chicken well.
I think
he's
that like the also best looking... that chicken could use a little bit of branding and marketing, but that's just another story.
That chicken is badass. Anyway, the spatchcock chickens, or like whatever the whole method that he does, you don't even have to do all that, but the pulling that thing off and then taking a giant meat cleaver and whacking
cool.
the
yeah,
shit out of
yeah.
it, that's just, that's theater, man.
Okay,
that's
listen,
like a show.
I'm not going to argue about this, but I'm just...
different
now
strokes
I, now,
for different
I, now
folks,
I feel
man.
Bad. Now you made me feel bad.
For cooking chicken parts. I know, it's so lame. Let's
Although,
get back to your
but,
recipe.
But
it
the one thing
great.
That's nice about the parts is you like the drumsticks and thighs. Like each thing gets its own bit of crispiness. So the genius in this recipe, as you know. So anyways, I like to think I cooked the chicken pretty well. Cooked it mostly on the bone side, and then flipped it over, took the top off, and crisped
and
it up.
And did your direct heat.
Did the direct heat, mostly top off, and got it all crispy. You take it off, and then, which we've done with the pork chops before, Gabe, you and I,
yep.
you take that reserved lime juice, honey, soy sauce, oil, that, and tons of shallots, and you just pour that all
Why
over the
you?
Smoky, crispy chicken, and it just creates this fatty, acidic, bright sauce. And oh my God, is it so good?
It
but
looks. I gotta
not
say,
not the chicken. Not the marinade that was actually
no,
marinated.
The second batch of marinade.
I gotta say, man, I looked at that recipe when you sent it through. I clicked the link. It looks incredible.
And
it's
then,
really
I'm
good.
And this
I'm not
one,
really
they,
into shishitos though.
This one they call you do shishitos separate. It's one of those things if you're grilling them and you have that and you put some Fresno
that
chilies.
That chicken looks unbelievable.
But I just loved that technique of the. Bathe after grilling, you
yeah.
know, like you're bathing into that marinade, and you got the little bits of pickled shallots kind of on there.
That was another trick that your boy Lee taught me was he just takes that chicken, he squeezes fresh lime over it.
Sure,
I wouldn't have thought to do that. I mean, I guess I would have.
Yeah. I think you can
lemon,
squeeze
lemon. I would have
lemon and lime over anything.
Yeah.
It just was perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that looks good. I'm making that. With the vinaigrette,
so
I'm
it makes
that
like
ASAP.
2.5 cups of vinaigrette. Just FYI, the original story was all about how to kind of set yourself up for a week of like chilling and grilling, basically.
Yeah.
So you make this big batch of marinade. You use a cup of it to make the wings, and then you have about a cup or more of marinade hanging out that you can use to dress your greens.
I don't know if we make
a pork chop.
I don't
no,
know if
I
we
made
make
it.
That clear. If you just if
it
you,
says at the bottom, it doesn't. Yes, you're right. At the very bottom, it's like save
these,
the marinade. It's
look,
fantastic on
we
the salad.
We can just safely say now that these are the rules. When we're grilling meats, we need a dipping sauce on the side. Period. End of story.
You know what's
no more grilled meats no. without highly acidic dipping sauces.
Can I tell you
unless,
what is on the
side? Unless you're,
period.
Unless you're
no,
grilled, no, no.
That is all.
What if it's
that is the rule?
What if it's like my expertly grilled dry aged ribeye?
Sure, why not?
No,
yeah,
you don't
I'm gonna.
Need, you don't
I need.
Need you don't need
I need crying tiger dipping sauce
no,
on
don't.
The side.
Anyway,
yes,
we're gonna say Carl.
A thousand.
I would squeeze lemon on your perfectly grilled ribeye. which is kind of like a sauce.
Of course.
Another, if you mess up like Adam and you use up all of your marinade and your basting liquid and you're like, oh my God, I was vinegar and butter. Park
Ooh,
that on the side
nice.
Of the that's, grill
that's base,
in a little
that's
saucepan.
Like buffalo hot it's buffalo just, wing sauce.
But
basically.
No hot.
That's
there's
a pro
no
tip.
No,
but
I'm, vinegar but I'm, and butter.
But I'm just saying the spiciness of hot sauce with. And hot sauce is mostly vinegar and then butter married together.
Sure. If you want to add hot sauce, that's fine.
I'm saying the same basic principles. Can I ask you a question?
To a buffalo
Wait, can
sauce.
I ask you a question?
I feel like my point, it got a little bit buried.
No, oh. I was just saying it's akin to buffalo sauce.
Sure.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
And this is a serious question because I was like, oh, shoot. I did the marinade. I'm such an idiot. And then
so hard on himself.
Oh, sometimes you just feel like you're like it's. I never read the recipe fully, and I always make the same mistakes. And I'm however old I am. Could I health wise? What's the word like food health? What's it called?
Food
like,
safety.
Food safety wise, mm-hmm. Could I have taken like half of the marinade from the Ziploc bag with the chicken and boiled it
yes,
down?
You could have
100%.
But it would have changed the
it
would have
become
the,
syrupy.
It would have become like foamy or
that,
cloudy. It would
is,
not,
there
it,
sugar,
it,
is there sugar in there?
A little bit.
Yeah,
yeah
honey or maple
honey.
Syrup.
You would just skim off any foamy stuff that came up and if it and then just taste it and adjust it, the flavor. But
would,
let it boil it, for a couple minutes before
it would
you taste
it. It would be different than in its raw form.
Yeah. The raw lime juice tastes
yeah,
different than
right,
the cooked.
Exactly.
But still it would have been like a good
It
would
be good still.
Yeah, you could use it.
Okay, so, all right, I mentioned that I started doing a grilled zucchini thing, and I was received with much mockery from both of you guys.
No, we're giving zucchini the gas face, as we used to say.
Zucchini is like a way that Mother Nature made water into a solid and put a green coat of paint on it and was like, it's good.
Okay, you know what
like,
that
no,
you,
it's not.
You know what that's called? Watermelon, actually.
You know what's good?
It's literally
same family,
in the name.
Same family. But you know what is actually good is zucchini. Flowers.
Okay.
So
right.
When I go to Italy, okay.
Well,
that's
yeah,
what I'm looking
yes,
out for.
Because they're battered and deep fried and stuffed with cheese. Like yep.
Zucchini's good battered and deep
okay.
fried.
Okay. All right. So bear with me for a second. Because you go to the market, you go to any farm stand, there's a gazillion zucchinis there in all different shapes and everything and colors and sizes. So I might have gotten this.
Summer squash zucchini.
Yes.
It is.
So,
right?
So
it's Mother Nature's like, look, these ones are striped. And
okay.
It's like, you
that.
Still suck.
I'm not feeling
bear
it.
Bear with me here. This is because this is kind of related to the chicken dish. So I got this recipe. I don't know if I stole this recipe from Sam Cass or from Franny's RIP in Brooklyn. I had it somewhere. But
let's say it was from Sam Cass.
Let's say it was Sam, but I think it was from Franny's. So you cut the zucchini into strips, but not too thin, because if you do it too thin on a hot grill, they just incinerate. So maybe a third of an inch thick, long lengthwise. Maybe a little salt, a little quick brush of olive oil. Grill them over medium high heat till they're nicely browned, a little bit of char, but
not
blackened.
Crazy.
You know, take those off, kind of lay them on a platter, or whatever. And we've talked about this, Carla. A lot of times, I'm just like, oh, it just needs some salt and olive oil, or maybe a little lemon juice. And this one, I'm like, you know what, it's gonna do a little bit more. So, a blizzard of well, before we get to the mint, vinegar, like. Good red wine vinegar, you know,
yep.
Or rice wine vinegar, all over that. So it sort of gets that nice vinegary thing. Then a blizzard of fresh mint, then some chopped, toasted hazelnuts.
Great.
Scattered all over there. And then on top of that, the first time, got just like pepperoncini from the fridge. You know, you're like little Italian pickled
Love
peppers
those.
And chopped those all up really fine and just threw that on top. So you get this like this nutty, this herby, this pickled. It was really good. Last time I used, someone gave me a thing of like pickled ramps, so I chopped those up on top. But it was like, it made boring zucchini quite delicious, Gabe.
Would you hit that with some like shaved pecorino as well?
You could, yeah, totally.
It reminds me of buffalo wings.
Oh, so what? Is, come on, dude.
I mean, it's lame basically in its concept. It's basically putting lipstick on a pig. It's zucchini, dude.
Okay.
It's well, God's can, least
can,
love vegetable.
Can I say this? I did the exact same treatment a couple weeks earlier. This is when I used the pickled ramps. I did that with grilled eggplant, same treatment. A little vinegar, chopped nuts. We had the little pickled ramps.
That's a little more interesting
fresh mint.
To me. I think if you just, every time you said zucchini, just replace it with focaccia, and then I'd be
wow.
like pretty psyched.
Yum.
The blizzard. I like the blizzard of mint. I like the chopped hazelnuts. I like
toasted.
I like the heavy on the vinegar.
That
I
sounds just... like in our next album, Blizzard of Mint.
I like eggplant. I don't know how you feel about the nightshades, but I would
eggplant,
I would get into that.
I feel like eggplant needs to always be made into Baba Ganoush.
Okay.
What was every single time.
What was the hit on Blizzard of Oz? Do you remember?
Blizzard of Mint?
No, Blizzard of Oz. I don't know if that was
Was Crazy Train on there?
I think that was after Crazy Train. Or maybe it was Crazy Train. Anyways.
I think it was. Yeah,
that's when we've got the I'm looking at it. It's on the
Wiki?
Yeah, I don't know, and then into Crazy Train. I don't know. No. Sorry. Anyways. Mr. Crowley. Probably Ozzy's best album. Anyhow. So
Anywho.
All right, sorry.
So,
all right.
Here's the thing that I made. Going back to vegetarian lasagna, yeah. Which is now what we call my son. So shout out to everybody who...
Shout out veggie lasagna. What's up?
Do you know that Seinfeld episode?
Nope.
When they're on the plane and Elaine is like furious at the guy next to them because he orders vegetarian lasagna and she just calls him vegetarian lasagna for the rest of the episode. Anyway, so that's what I call my son now. Vegetarian lasagna, the child.
Yeah.
I did... A ton of grilled. This was weird because now that he's vegetarian, I just have to keep making stuff and telling him, like, look, dude, you don't eat like a whole big category of things now. So you got to open up like the other stuff you're going to eat. So those potatoes converted him. He didn't like potatoes. He ate them with mustard. Not a mustard guy. So now he's eating beans. Wasn't a beanman before. So there's like great things are happening in general. But I grilled Swiss chard leaves and kale leaves. Ton of them. And I like to do a thing where I pile them up on the grill so that the bottom guys are getting charred and crispy and the middle guys are getting steamed.
Okay, so I did grilled kale the other week, and I think I just screwed it up. It just felt tasted like burnt and bland. And what did I do wrong?
Like, so I just did them with, like, again, I wasn't trying to bring a ton of stuff to the grill because it was so hot. We were going to go back inside to eat.
Wait, can I ask one more question?
Sure.
When you do the grilled kale, do you strip the leaves from the stem first?
I do.
Okay,
I just think it's
sense.
Easier
yeah.
later, and same with the Swiss chard, but then I don't tear it up more than that, so they're kind of in those big V slaps, V.
Okay. So do you, when you grill them, do you oil or salt first?
Yeah, oil, salt, pepper, tossy.
Wow, I totally screwed this up.
Maybe I put lemon juice, I don't remember. Grilled them, but did the thing so that they're kind of charred and kind of bright green and tender, and there's a mix.
Mm.
And then after that, so if it hadn't been for him, I also would have grilled some scallions, or I would have grilled like some kind of an allium situation.
To give it a little oomph.
Just a little something, but that would be great too. You could grill like scallions would be excellent.
Always scallions.
So the greens, and then after they come off the grill, I chop them up a little bit and tossed it with a lot of red wine vinegar. My dad makes vinegar in a barrel because he's got freaking red wine everywhere. So really, really strong, very bright, acidic red wine vinegar, more salt, pepper, lemon juice. And then I sort of put part of it onto a platter and then grated parm all over it.
Mm.
And then did another layer and grated parm all over that. So everybody who got a bite, there was like parm all in all the layers.
Mm.
He ate like half the thing.
Really?
I was like, dude, slow down. Everybody else needs to get some kale. So
Jules was making something, some recipe the other day with just some kale chopped up in a hot skillet with lemon juice and nutritional yeast. She was doing the vegan version.
Well, you're talking to Miss Nutritional Yeast.
Love the stuff.
Yeah.
We loved it. We ate so much kale.
I think also enjoying with the grilling, like all of the things that you just then eat it with your hands, you know, and you're kind of taking some kale leaves and wrapping it around a piece of chicken and getting your Rice crispy bits.
All right, guys.
Crunchy.
I'm worried that summer might be over by the time we finish this podcast. Carla, let me ask you a few things. Because on your list, you mentioned these things that I want to say, what are they called? Fruits? You mentioned like fruits on your list.
Apricots,
sour cherries, gooseberries.
So
what do you do with this stuff?
Summertime, man.
I think what you do is you go to the farmer's market and you're like, what thing is here that wasn't here last week? And one of those things was gooseberries.
Yeah.
Never have I ever. I don't even know if they've been here the whole time. And I just didn't see them because I was looking for something
gooseberries.
Else.
Try a snozzberry.
Exactly.
Daddy, I want a gooseberry.
And they're so cool looking. They look like little clear green striped. It's like you can see the brains inside of the
I've
operation.
Seen that
you know what I mean?
So what do you do with them? Do you make jam?
They look like miniature watermelons.
Exactly.
Yes.
And they were so beautiful. They were like a mix of pale green and yellow and then more pinky ones and then like really wine colored berry ones, all in the same thing. And I quickly figured out that the green ones are like insanely tannic
sour.
And acidic.
Yeah.
And the red ones were delicious. and I still haven't really figured out what I'm going to do with them. They're in my fridge.
I want a gooseberry.
I think I'm going to cook them until they burst and add some sugar. I don't know what I'm going to do. I literally have
like
no
idea. Like a compote,
idea.
Like a gooseberry compote situation?
I guess.
Can we talk about sour cherries? And yes. What is a sour cherry compared to a cherry cherry?
It's a different variety, and it's sour.
Okay. So what do you...
Then they kind of have their flesh is softer. Like, you know how when you bite into a Bing cherry, it's like crunchy like an apple mm-hmm. almost, and they're pretty fat.
Yeah. this one goes bing.
Even the Rainiers, whatever. Sour cherries are kind of soft, and they are a little bit like shiny, translucent, and they're really, really sour. So you have to cook them with sugar, but they make great pie.
Oh.
Could be because a regular sweet cherry just gets like, ugh, too
sweet. So this
would be
you'd make a classic cherry pie.
Do you remember that Porno for Pyros hit, We Make Great Pets?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, We Make Great Pie.
Was Porno for Pyros, what's his name, Perry Farrell Band after?
What if we did We Make Great Pie?
Yeah. That's the one that we had the cherry pie on the cover of Bon Appetit.
That is
June 2012 or 13 or whatever.
Amazing recall, but yeah, I think it's just in the magazine as sour cherry pie.
Yeah, some cherry pie.
And that way, like, you can really...
A little warrant?
Yeah. I think they have a lot of pectin, warrant, yeah. too.
A pectin, that's interesting. Okay, cool. And apricots. Can we talk fresh apricots?
No, delicious. Let's talk pectin.
Yeah, let's talk pectin. Because like, apricots is... I feel like apricots, as a kid growing up in the 70s when we did, like, apricots were always like, would you like some dried apricot? I'm like, no, I would not like some of your dried apricot.
Does that keep me regular?
I'd like some Doritos. Like, don't give me an actual after-school snack. Don't try to force your dried apricots on me.
Is that a stool
hardener? Yeah. So what talk to me about fresh apricots.
So the apricots are popping right now. They're the size of a baby's fist.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they go from orange to, like, the ones that have kind of the red, like, speckly, freckly blush on them. They're just really delicious. They're all freestones. They, you just eat the whole thing in one bite. But they also aren't super high in water content. You know, like a peach, when you bake a peach into a pie, it, like,
oh, yeah.
releases a lot of liquid. Apricots have, like, an integrity to them, but they also get really soft and velvety.
They don't have a pit?
They do, but it's freestone. It's like not like...
I don't know what that
what
means.
What does that mean?
It just means it's loose inside of the middle. You know when you get down to the middle of a peach
sounds
like and
a,
like...
Sounds like a music festival up in
freestone.
Vermont.
Freestone.
It's like, oh man, I was at Freestone a couple of years ago.
It sounds to me like Freemasonry or something. Yeah. They're freestones. They're part of an ancient cult.
The next time you go to a farm stand and they have peaches, look the farmer in the eye and say, freestone, and he will know what you're talking about.
So
it's when the pit, like,
it just comes
detaches
off. Yeah,
instead of being all, like, entangled
and
in the tentacles.
You gotta cut it and pull it. And
yeah, it's freestone.
Freestone, baby. Yeah. I'm free.
Okay, Gabe.
Yeah.
But wait, the apricots... Wow. There's a famous Marion Burroughs recipe that everybody knows that used Italian plums, and that was in the Times, and they republished it every year, blah, blah, blah. Claire Saffitz, who we mentioned before, to come up with a kind of a cake batter similar to that, where you make the cake batter, and then you just rest the halved fruit on top, and you can do it with peaches or apricots or figs or plums or whatever, and while it bakes, the batter kind of puffs up and goes around the fruit, but the fruit doesn't sink all the way under. So that's what I'm going to do with the apricots.
Do you need to like sprinkle sugar or anything on the fruit, or is the fruit fine on its own? You know what I mean? Does it need any help?
I don't think it needs. It shouldn't need help.
No. Okay.
But just a little raw sugar in the raw never killed anybody.
We're going to play a little game. It's not summer until I've had ... Gabe, you want to go first?
No.
Carla.
Come on.
Carla, you go first. Gabe's going to think about it. Carla, you go first.
It's not summer until I've had a peach standing over the sink with no one else around.
Just dripping down your wrist.
It's just for me and the peach to know about.
I know.
Do you have
my
a favorite type of peach? Like
freestone.
I'm free.
Like white peach
I
or
prefer
red,
a yellow peach over a white peach. Okay. I like a donut peach, but really just a nice, a beautiful yellow peach.
Freestone, baby.
Freestone all the way.
I know what I'd like, Adam.
Okay.
And I don't peel them either.
Oh, God, no.
It's not summer until I've had Chiappino from Dave's Grill in Montauk.
Oh.
A heaping bowl of piping hot Chiappino fish stew with all of the beautiful frutti di mare.
Yeah, so what
your
pronunciation is pretty goofy
for a guy who has grandparents who were born in Sicily.
You say Cioppino.
Cioppino?
You say Cioppino.
What, Cioppino?
Yeah.
Cioppino.
Yeah, Cioppino.
Well, you don't have to embarrass me.
what goes into the Cioppino at Dave's?
Well, Dave's is gone.
What?
So it won't be summer.
Oh my God.
And I won't get to have my Cioppino, Carla.
This is like one of those, like the year they stole Christmas or whatever. What was that? What was it?
So what are you going to do if it's not summer until
we gotta
you
make
had it?
We got to make it. We got to make it. We got to figure out how we made it. What's in the Cioppino?
Yeah. What was
it? I just didn't know what you were saying cuz you said Cioppino.
Okay. Jeez Louise. God.
What's in it? What do you think?
Lobster.
Okay.
Mm.
Scallops.
Mm-hmm.
Little night clams.
Mm.
Mussels.
Mm.
Some white fish.
Maybe out there.
I think it's probably
striped.
I think it's probably stripers that they get out there. And calamari.
How different
tomato
is
it? Tomatoey?
Fennelly? Tomatoey? No, but brothy. Not thick.
What's
brothy,
the difference? But
light.
What, Carla?
Super light with a beautiful piece of toasted garlic bread. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes.
On bread.
Mayonnaise?
Yeah, it's no.
Butter, dips?
No.
But no.
No.
Is there any difference between Cioppino and
bouillabaisse?
Bouillabaisse, really?
Bouillabaisse, you need to use the bones and you need to make your own stock. And there's like actual, there's a lot of anise and then they use Pernod.
Yeah, the fennel. And they make the.
You make a roux with like the egg yolk and the saffron.
There's saffron in it.
There is. That's nice. I like that. With tomato? Fresh tomato?
He's never made it.
I have made it, and I made it to varying degrees of success. But I will say that there is some kind of weird muscle memory, or you know, some kind of olfactory flavor memory that comes with that. And summer, you know, years and years and years of being in Montauk for the summertime is like my happy place. And it's not summer until I've had that. And Dave's closed.
Thanks.
Shame on everybody for letting that happen. And it just won't be summer. It won't be summer again.
You have to make your own summer.
Carnita summer.
I'm going to go with a chocolate vanilla soft serve twist.
Mm.
Like I never eat. I'm not a big ice cream guy generally, but I need one of those this summer. And just like a good sized twist.
Do you go to like a truck on the corner in the city or do you like to go to John's or where do you
go? There's a place out in the North Fork called Drosos. It's like a little drive-in. They got the putt-putt golf course and everything
there. Awesome
and it's a little walk-in sort of stand. And there's something about their soft serve. There's like a noticeable amount of salt in it.
Mm.
So there's a saltiness to like the chocolate
ice
cream.
Yeah, delicious. Yeah.
And you get that big and it's just like, oh man. And you just go to town on that. And then you're like, I'm good.
I don't care what they say about you. You are a nice man. You're like a romantic, you're like nostalgic and you're romantic and you romanticize summer and you romanticize youth and you romanticize and you're nostalgic about places and you have all these beautiful memories and you bring meaning to a lot of people's lives. And I just want to say thank you for that memory and talking to me about that soft serve. You really took me to a place.
Mm.
And I just think you're great at what you do, man. Thank you for everything you do.
Wow.
Gabe, I will thank you and the watermelon margarita. And thanks for coming. This was our midsummer, kind of mid-late summer grilling/eating/snacking podcast.
Was it a dream?
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm right. Schwitzing. It was great.
Thanks, Carla. Thanks, Gabe.
Thanks, man.
The Bon Appetit Foodcast is produced by Carrie Polis and Christina Che and produced and edited by Emma Wortsman. Our theme music is by Nathaniel Wortsman. We have new episodes every Wednesday, and if you want to tell us about this or any other episode, email us at bonappetitfoodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness, really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.